Bibles to Exodus chapter 33, and we will be looking at verse number 18, verses 18 through 23, and then also we'll be taking a look at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8. And so first Exodus chapter 33, verse 18 through 23, and then we'll also be looking at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8. And by the help of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to try and preach this. Amen. Exodus 33, verse 18, it says, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And he will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Now take a look at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8. Jesus preaching on the Beatitudes regarding the different motivations that a Christian and believer should have, the different activities that a Christian should have. In Matthew 5, 8, he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Today I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, "What are you looking at?" What are you looking at? Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. God, we just commend the rest of this service and this message into your hands. God, in my flesh I can do nothing, but through your spirit all things are possible to him that believeth. And I pray, oh God, that you take these words and that you would enable them to impact lives and to cause transformation, to cause people to be saved and to be born in the kingdom of God, to cause deliverance today. We just put it in your hands, said Lord Jesus. We rely on your spirit even to break down the walls and the barriers and the obstacles that the enemy has placed to try and stop your spirit from having its way. And even today, Lord God, we break down those walls. We deploy your word according, Lord Jesus, as you have spoken, that whatsoever things we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever things we loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus for the binding of the enemy and for a loosening of your spirit, liberty in this house, liberty to hear and to be changed. And we thank you right now for the victory. And in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What are you looking at? That's a phrase that has many different connotations, one of which is that it is used when a person is looking at something so interesting or strange that it begs the question, what is it about this object that captivates the viewer with such interest? You ever seen someone just staring at something? You're like, man, what is he looking at? You know, if you saw someone that was standing on the street and they're just like looking at the sky and just kind of pointing at something, you'd be like, you start looking too, like, you know, what is he looking at? Or what is she looking at? What object are they fixating their gaze on that's captivating their attention, that's causing them to really look and gaze this thing? What are you looking at? And the thing is, whatever we look at often has a great influence on what we do, on our reactions and our behavior. What you look at can affect how you behave. If you see a truck coming at you and you see that thing, it's going to affect how you behave. You know, you see someone walking up with a gun towards you, it's going to affect how you behave. You see a good-looking woman coming to you, it's going to affect how you behave. Oh, see, now y'all got quiet on that one. Come on, now, let's keep it real. It's going to affect how you behave. What you're looking at can affect how you behave, because what you look at is what you're going to adjust your actions to accommodate, whether something's coming at you or you're trying to avoid something or perhaps you're trying to approach something or someone. What we see affects how we behave, especially if it is something that we esteem or desire to emulate. I want you to take a look at John chapter 8, verse 37. We'll read through verse 44. Especially when it comes to when we're trying to emulate something that we like. Something, when we see something that we like, we will try and to become what we're seeing. And we see here in John chapter 8, verse 37, Jesus is talking to some Pharisees and even some people that believe, and has a very intriguing dialogue that occurs here. He says, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen, with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Point number one, that a lot of times that our behavior and the things that we do is based on what we see, particularly with an authoritative figure such as our father. Jesus said, the things that I speak, I'm just telling you what my father is doing. When I heal someone of a sickness or disease, I'm just reenacting what I've already seen my father do. When I raise someone from the dead, I'm only reenacting what I've seen in the spiritual realm, what I've seen my father do. And then he makes a very interesting claim. He says that you see your father and you do what you see your father doing. He says in verse 39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. And one of the things that we have in the body of Christ is that we claim that God is our father. We claim perhaps even a pastor or bishop as a spiritual father. But if they really were our father and we were watching what they were doing, we would be doing the same things that our father would be doing. And so the thing is, we need to analyze, what are we doing? What actions are we doing in our life? Because what actions we're doing, we are emulating our father doing the same thing. And so when you see young men who are walking around the streets with their pants down by their ankles, they're only emulating what they're seeing their father do. When we see these young men even berate and demean and degrade beautiful young women with slang words and curse words, they're only seeing what their father is doing. When we see people speak with hatred and with all sorts of violence towards one another, they're doing it because they're seeing what their father is doing and trying to emulate and become what their father has become. Because what you look at will affect how you behave. The Bible says that, and believe it's in Proverbs 29:18, that without a vision the people perish. But happy is he that keepeth the law. That he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That whoever you're looking at, your vision will affect how you walk. Because the fact of the matter is, we have something called hand-eye coordination. And that the coordination between what your hands can do and what your eyes can do affects your ability to move. Some people, they can play various sports and are very athletic because they have very good hand-eye coordination. They can coordinate what they see with their actions. And because of that, they are successful. And one of the reasons why that we have problems in the body of Christ is because there is no hand-eye coordination. That we see our pastor praying and we see people preaching, we see people doing good things, but there is no coordination between what we're seeing sometimes in the spirit and what we're doing in our flesh. And that's why we have to get a coordination between what we're seeing in the spirit and also what we're doing in our flesh. Let me go on a bit further before I digress. Verse 40 in John chapter 8. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. You could tell these guys were ghetto. They're like, we be. We be not born of fornication. What you on, bro? No. We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The Bible said that we do what we see our father does. And if we're looking at the wrong things, that thing will become a father to us, and we'll start doing the very same thing that father is doing. And the Bible, Jesus says to these people that ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust, the desires of the devil that he does, you're going to do the same. We have got to change what we're looking at. And I'm going to get a little bit personal here today. We've got to change what we're looking at. We've got to change what we're watching on the television and what we're watching on YouTube and Facebook, because what you see is what you'll end up doing. What you listen to is what you'll end up doing. How can we call ourselves Christians? We're watching horror movies and people being murdered and being brutalized and watching Satanism and witchcraft, and we're watching all these different things. How can we call ourselves children of the living God? We watch music videos with sex and with lust and all sorts of things that are going on. How can we say, because you will do what your father is doing? You've got to change what you're looking at. You've got to get some hand-eye coordination. The fact of the matter is that we want to say that God is our father. But how can you see God? The Bible says in John 4:24 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You can't see a spirit no more than you can see the wind. So then how am I supposed to do what my heavenly Father does if I can't see what he does? The fact of the matter is that in order to do the works of God, we have to see God, but how do we see him? Point number one, that we have to see him through the eyes of faith. You can't physically see God, but you can see him through the eyes of faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That I'm not walking by my carnal senses because they can lie to me. They can deceive me. I have to walk by faith. I have to trust what God's word says on the subject. Since I can't see God in the spirit, I have to trust God's word on what he looks like. If you ever tried to have someone explain something to you that you've never seen before? But with their words, although physically you're not standing in front of the object, you begin to see it in your heart and in your mind because faith is being built. As pastors said that our faith organ is activated, that we're able to see, and our faith organ is our imagination. If you have an imagination, you can see the impossible. And I know it's Black History Month, so I'll just throw a little plug in there. But you know that in slavery times, they kept slaves illiterate. They kept them illiterate for several reasons. One, because if they could get a hold of a book that told them of another land where people were free and people were happy, then that would suddenly they'd want to be free and they'd be more likely to want to escape because they want to go to this place where there's freedom. They want to go to this new land, this new area in their lives. And one of the ways that the devil gets us captivated is that he tries to make us illiterate and that we're not reading the word of God, because God's word will explain and show you a land that seems impossible. He'll show you a body that's racked with cancer, completely healthy. He'll show you a bank account that's in the red, suddenly in the black and overflowing with finances. He'll show a marriage that's broken and falling apart, suddenly back together. He'll show you the impossible, and it's there inside of the word. And by reading God's description of who he is, you can start to see God's character and see God's attributes. The next question is, how do we believe? What is the mechanism by which we're able to believe? Romans chapter 10 verse 9 tells us this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The way that we believe is not necessarily by logically or rationally being able to understand something. That belief does not necessarily come from the head, it comes from the heart. And what is the heart? The heart represents the core of man's motives, of his will, of who he is, the core of his being. And that when God wants you to believe, he just doesn't want you to mentally agree, okay, that's right, preacher. Yeah, I shouldn't smoke, and I shouldn't chew, and I shouldn't run with those that do, and I shouldn't be out sexing, I shouldn't be out texting, I shouldn't be out relaxing and flexing, I shouldn't be doing any of that stuff. You'll mentally agree, but you really don't believe it, because if you believe it, you would change your actions. You would change your actions. Again, if you see a semi coming at you and you believe that semi is coming at you, you're going to move out the way. If you believe that these things are wrong, you will change your behavior. God does not want to inspire you. He wants to persuade you. He's not trying to educate you. He's trying to convince you. He's trying to convict you to buy into what he's trying to tell you. As an educator, I taught in high school. And the thing is, with my job, I was supposed to educate, which means to inform. But that was not my goal, nor was it my objective. My objective was to persuade. Because although you can be informed regarding a situation or circumstance, if you don't believe that information is any good, you'll never use it and never apply it, and you'll never be changed by it. And that's why just hearing the word of God is not enough. You've got to be persuaded. You've got to believe it, not just with your head. So, okay, that's right. No, you've got to believe it down in the very core of your being when your will changes and your motives change and you start doing the very things that God has said in his word to do. Salvation comes through faith, and faith resides within the confines of the heart. You've got to believe down in your heart. In order to see God, which means in order to believe, you've got to have a pure heart. The Bible says in Psalm 24, verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That if you want to see God in your life, you've got to believe with a pure heart. I want to really help someone today, because the fact of the matter is that in our life, we should be seeing God in every facet of it. We should be seeing God in our finances. We should be seeing God in our health. We should be seeing God in our spirit, in our mind, in our thinking, in our actions, in our discourse, in how we speak to one another. In any area where you're not seeing God is an area where your heart is not pure. For the Bible says, blessed are they which are pure in heart, for they shall. That's a guarantee that they shall see God.
Any area that you're struggling is an area where you're not seeing God. Because if God shows up and manifests, that does not matter how great the weapon is, it will not prosper against you. It does not matter how great the difficulty is, the mountain must move when God says it has to move. When God says, let there be light, there must be light. When God manifests and makes himself visible in your situation, things have to change. And that's why God is saying that you need to be still and know that I am God, for I will be exalted amongst the heathen. I want to be God not only in church, but I want to be God over your finances. I want to be God in your marriage. I want to be God in your relationships. I want to be God in your house and in your home. I want to be God in your heart and in your mind. I want to be God of everything. God is not playing second fiddle to anyone. He's not playing second best to anyone. God wants to be God over every part of our lives. But he cannot be God in your life if you don't see him. Because you can't react to something that you can't see. Think about that. So if you're not seeing God in an area, then you can't react to his actions and therefore be transformed and be changed and repent of your sins. You've got to see God with a pure heart. A pure heart. 1 Timothy 1:5 says this. Now the end of the commandment is charity. In the Greek there is agape or love. The end, the resolution, the final zenith of the commandments of God, of every law and every statute that God has, is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned or a faith that's not fake or false or phony. That's the ultimate thing that pleases God is when someone responds in faith to him, to his love, and begins to let that love flow through them to someone else. That pleases God more than anything. We've got to have a pure heart. And so some of the reasons why we're not getting victory in our lives is because our hearts aren't pure. Because if your heart was pure, you would see God in that situation. And a lot of us, we're discouraged and we're falling away because we can't see God because our heart is not pure. And what I mean by pure heart, I don't mean just a heart that has sin in it. There's more to it. And that's why the Bible, it commands us to protect our heart, because the heart is where faith comes. And where faith comes, then God is able to move. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That if you have faith, you can do anything. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, that if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him believeth. I talked about this in a previous message called Let's Settle This, that faith is the ability to settle the outcome from the beginning. And so if Satan can corrupt your heart and make it impure, then you can't believe. And if you can't believe, then you can't receive. And if you can't receive, then you can't win. So we got to guard and protect our heart. Guard and protect our heart from people that only want to abuse us and manipulate us and try to derail us off of our destiny and our purpose. You've got to guard your heart and don't just listen to any old garbage. Don't let anyone just speak into your life. You've got to let God speak in your life. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Diligence meaning passionately, fervently, with all sincerity. For out of it are the issues of life. The Bible says in Luke 6:45 that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. That we've got to guard our heart, because if we don't guard our heart, then we'll start saying some crazy stuff and then we'll get in some trouble. You ever been there? You kept talking. Had you just stopped a few more words, you could have stayed out of trouble. But no, you kept on talking because something got in your heart. And what's in your heart began to come out of your mouth. And that allowed a foot to go up your behind. We got to have a pure heart. The reason why we're not seeing manifestation, this message was for me. Because I prayed for certain things and didn't see manifestation. And what the Lord told me is that because your heart is impure. There are things in your heart, things that aren't necessarily sinful, they're just distracting you. It's just white noise. It's just static that's preventing you from fully focusing on me. We have so many distractions with our technology, with all the things that's going on. But if our hearts were pure, we could see God. We would start seeing the miraculous. If we could just see God, if we could just get our hearts pure, we could see the miraculous and see things manifested. The reason why we don't see God manifest in our prayers in our lives is because we are not pure in our hearts. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That our hearts are deceitfully wicked. And I've been there. If you've ever been on a fast and you said, I'm not going to eat anything, and for whatever reason, that's the day that the wind blows just right, that you can smell Burger King, and you smell Taco Bell and KFC and Popeyes and... Oh, just one bite won't hurt. Just one. You're on YouTube and you see something that you shouldn't watch. It's, oh, just one video won't hurt. Just one thing won't hurt. One kiss won't hurt. Uh-oh. One touch won't hurt. No, the heart's deceitful. It's pretty bad. You know, it's bad you can't trust people around you, and you can't even trust yourself. You got a real problem there. But that's what the Bible says. You can't even trust yourself. You got to go to the Word of God, because only God can change the heart. Matthew 15:7 says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You're worshiping God, you're saying hallelujah and doing all the holy righteous things that you're supposed to do, but because your heart is not completely in it, because your heart is not pure, because you're still holding on to something that you should let go years ago, it's keeping you out of the blessing that God has for your life. It's keeping you out of salvation. It's keeping out the plan that God has for your life. You've got to let go of some things. I'm talking to myself. I know there's things in my life I got to let go and get rid of it, because God is not going to play second fiddle anymore. When you look in Revelation, you only see one sitting on the throne. There's only one throne. There's only one throne in your heart, just as it is in heaven. And only God can sit on it. And every relationship, every substance, every possession must be subjugated to God's authority and God's dominion. There's a saying that if there's something that you own that you cannot get rid of, then you don't own it, it owns you. Think about that. If there's something that you own that you cannot live without, that you cannot get rid of, then you don't own it, it owns you. Because you'll do whatever you can to keep whatever that thing is, that relationship, that boy, that girl, that car, that job, that career, that whatever, that ego trip that you got, that personality that you have, you'll do whatever you can. That thing is your God. The Bible says in Romans 6:16 that it talks about yielding yourself to the wrong thing. Could you get that scripture on there? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of disobedience unto righteousness. Whoever you yield yourself to, submit yourself to, that thing is your master. That thing is your God. And you look at the story of the rich young ruler, that he came to Jesus and said, what must I do in order to be saved, to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you're supposed to honor your father and mother, and you're supposed to not have any other God. Well, I've done all that stuff. He said, okay, well, why don't you give up all that money to the poor? Oh, I can't do that. That money owned him. He didn't own the money, because it stopped him from entering into eternal life. What is stopping you from progressing in your relationship with God? Because if you can't get rid of it, then technically you're not serving Jesus, you're serving that. That thing is your God. We don't want to hear this, but I'm going to get in your business today. If we're going to see God, we have got to purify our heart, and this is how we do it. We purify our heart by holiness. The Bible says this. Look what it says, Hebrews 12:14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall what? See the Lord. You've got to live holy, which means you got to cut out all the mess and all the junk that's blinding your vision from seeing God. You got to get rid of it. Throw some CDs away. Throw some movies away. Throw some clothes away. Throw some stuff away. Get rid of it. It's keeping you from eternal life. It's stopping you from seeing God. But I want to see that movie. That movie looks really funny. That movie looks really good. When you could be seeing someone rising from the dead. When you could be seeing someone being healed. When you could be seeing someone being blessed and someone being saved. You want to look at other things. Look at garbage and filth. When you could be seeing God. You got to get rid of all this junk. You're watching the wrong show. And you need to change the channel and put it on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Right? Am I in the book?
Matthew 6:22 says this, the light of the body is the eye. The light of the body is the eye. That's true physically and spiritually. Close your eyes for a second. Got dark, didn't it? No light is getting inside of your body because that's your eye. It comes through the eyes. The light of the body is the eye, the Bible says. You can open your eyes now. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, notice it uses the word single. So I'm a single ladies, you can rejoice over this. No, I'm just messing. If thine eye be single, I gotta quit meddling. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. It uses the word single, which means focused on one thing, which implies if you're not focused on one thing, then your whole body is not going to be filled with light. Look what it says. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And the problem that we have in the church is our eyes are all over the place. You ever seen someone that's cockeyed? Got one eye going here, like you can never look him straight. Which eye should I look at? They're just kind of looking in different places. You got one eye going over here, one eye's kind of looking at you, and just like, confuses you, doesn't it? Imagine how God feels. If we were to focus on him completely and totally and remove the distractions, one, we wouldn't be tripping so much. I said, we be. I know now the ghetto's getting to me now. We be. We wouldn't be tripping so much. We be. Because if you're watching where you're going, then you wouldn't trip. You wouldn't fall. If you just keep your eyes on Jesus who's leading you and guiding you, you won't fall. He says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If your eye is single and focus on the light, Jesus Christ calls him the light, comes of the light of the world. If it's single on God, your whole life will be permeated with the light of God. Now look what it says in the next verse. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Think about this. Think about just what you own, things in your life. And if God told you to get rid of it, could you do it? You're like, I got to throw it away, and it's still attached to your hand like duct tape. Could you get rid of it? Could you stop doing it? Could you stop looking at it? Could you leave it alone? And there's pause that's there. And I'm preaching to myself. This is what the Lord told me. We have to be able, if anything that God says, you get rid of it, we should be able to say, okay, and get rid of it. Bye, deuces. Let's go. That's the place we ought to be at. We ought to let stuff go. All right, let me just, I'm trying to hurry, but let me just testify for a second. My parents, as you know, about 11 years ago or so, that their house burned down, and God blessed us with a house twice as big. My dad got to design the house. It's brand spanking new. Great. And my dad left that house. He left a very comfortable place to come here and to be the pastor. He still owns that house, but he's trying to get rid of it. I'm like, don't get rid of it. I want to retire in that house. He wants to get rid of it. So you should, you need to retire in that house. Really, retire in that house. And then when I get old, I can retire in that house. You know, that house is like the promised land. It's like Israel. That land was given to us. This is our land. My dad's like, I ain't trying to fool that thing. I'll just get rid of it. Because he understands that this home is not my home. He could get rid of anything he owns and it would not bother him because he understands his inheritance in Christ. He understands who his God truly is. I'm trying to get there. I ain't perfect. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to get there. But he could just get rid of stuff because that's not his God. Cars are not his God. His house is not his God. Jesus is his God. You think you own stuff. You don't own it. It owns you if you can't get rid of it. I'm going to quit, man. I'm going to move on. The third thing that helps us to see God is the word. The Bible says this, that in Psalm 119, I thought I had the verse written down here, but apparently I didn't. Psalm 19, it talks about, thy word hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. If your word is inside of your heart, inside of your motives and your will, you won't do things that are contrary to God's will and God's motives. We have to get God's word in the heart. Now, I want to go back to Exodus. I want you to see some things here. I'm going to try and wrap this up. Exodus chapter 33, Moses is gone to the mountain to talk to God. And he makes a request. He asks a question that no human being has ever asked before. We see in verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Not a single person in the entire Bible up until that point had ever asked such a question. God, let me see you. Let me see your glory. And God responds in this way. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. My God, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And there is a very beautiful revelation. If you want to see God, then you're going to have to die. Because no one can see God and live. To come and to encounter the power and the glory of Almighty God is so overwhelming that it would incinerate any type of mortal flesh. And so when Moses is making his request, he doesn't fully know what he's asking for. And God tells him, he's like, no man can see my face, because if you were to see my face, you would die. That's really amazing, because it's not when we talk about someone dying from looks, it usually is not in a good connotation. You know, you see some people that got a face for radio, not really good for television. We talk about, man, I can't look at this person because, oh, they're ugly. No, God is so awesome and so amazing that if you were to see him, you would die from awesomeness. You know, this body comes in the morgue and the body's glowing. It's like, how did this guy die? Oh, he died of awesomeness. He saw something so awesome, he couldn't take it. God is that good? Ah! And he died. He's like, you can't handle this. You ain't about that life. See, y'all, you guys are getting in my species. I got to get out of this. All right, so if you were to see God, he's so good that it would kill you. That's how good he is. You cannot see God until you die to yourself. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, it says that ye are dead. It says, actually, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, the Bible says. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You cannot see Jesus until, or see God, I should say, until you die to yourself. He said, look, no one can see my face. But look what the Bible says here. This just trips me up. If you look in Psalm 27, verse 7, the Bible says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face. Now God is saying, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. David is writing this, and God's saying, seek ye my face. And David understood that to look on God's naked glory would kill him. But Lord, he said, seek my face. Okay, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to see you. I'm ready to die to myself. I'm ready to die to the old life that I was so I can experience your glory. No man can see my face and live, God says. And it's so funny because the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I would hear from heaven, I would forgive their sin and heal their land. That it would seek God's face, which means that we are going to die to ourselves. That's what Jesus said. He said that if any man follows me, he's going to take up his cross and die to self. Let's keep reading. Exodus chapter 33, verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I'll put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face again shall not be seen. That word there for face can also be translated my presence. my presence cannot be seen. And the only way that Moses could even withstand seeing God's glory was being hidden inside of the rock. And it's the same thing today, that if you're going to see God, you've got to be hidden inside of the rock of all ages, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the express image of the invisible God. If you want to get an idea of looking at God, look at Jesus. And that's why looking unto Jesus is, as the author and the finisher of our faith, causes us to be changed. Causes us to be changed. Now, back to Matthew 5:8. I'm going to say one last thing. I'm going to take my seat. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Greek word there for see, it not only means to see or to look at something, it also can be translated meaning to be seen. To make yourself visible. So you could technically read this verse, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be seen of God. Wait a minute, doesn't God see everything? You know, when I read Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve have committed sin, what was the first thing they did? They hid. And then they covered themselves. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be seen of God. For so long, we try and hide ourselves from God. We try and cover our hearts up because I don't want God to see inside of my heart because my heart is wicked and my heart is nasty. And if you were to really see what I really am, you wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. But blessed are the pure in heart, the ones that truly believes in God's mercy and God's grace and God's love, because then God can fully see them. They'll finally say, okay, God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of crying. God, I will show you myself. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be seen of God. Not only will they be able to see God in all of his righteousness and all of his majesty, but they will be seen of God. God says, look, I see you. But what are you looking at? You know, that phrase is also used when someone is looking at them in a way that's inappropriate. You ever had that happen? You're on the bus and someone's like looking like, or just like, dude, what you looking at? You're looking at me in a crazy way that seems inappropriate, like you're probing for something. And a lot of us do that to God. God, what are you looking at? Why are you looking at me? Your stare is getting all in my business. You're seeing things I don't want you to see. What you looking at? That's the response of somebody who's uncomfortable. And the fact of the matter is, God's like, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at a person who keeps trying to do things on their own. I'm looking at a person that's too embarrassed to really show themselves to me because they think I'm going to condemn them and judge them and put them in hell. I'm looking at a person who cries themselves to sleep and is afraid to admit it. I'm looking at a person who is full of doubt and unbelief and is afraid to admit it. A person who puts on a front like everything's okay, but everything really isn't okay. And if you just purge yourself and say, I'm tired of hiding and covering, I'm going to throw away my fig leaves, Adam and Eve, and I'm just going to let God see me in all of my nakedness. Because you cannot have true intimacy with God unless you fully show him everything. God wants to be intimate with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And you will not experience his full blessing until you allow him to see you. Until you want to see him more than anything. We sing the song, oh, I want to see him, to look upon his face. Do we really mean that? Because you could see God now, really, if you would just purify your heart. My prayer isn't getting answered. I'm not seeing that because your heart is impure. Will you open your heart unto God fully, without reservation, withholding nothing, that God could fully do surgery because you got clogs and you got all sorts of gunk and cholesterol in your heart, and you're about to have a heart attack and barely breathe. You're suffocating and asphyxiating because of all the stuff that's going on in your life. Let God, the master physician, do an open heart surgery. You got to start praying like David. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's stand. I got to quit. Reason why you're not seeing your prayers answered. Reason why you're not seeing God manifest in this situation, because your heart's not pure. When your heart is pure, you will see God. God will show himself strong in every circumstance, in any situation. But you got to have a pure heart. And again, the things that you're holding on to may not necessarily be a sin, but it's holding you back from experiencing all that God has for you. It's covering you so God can't see you and really work on you. Quit trying to cover yourself.
Quit trying to hide from God. What are you looking at? And also quit looking at people that pretend to be your father when they're not your father. Quit watching the devil do his stuff and trying to emulate him. Watch your heavenly Father. Watch how your heavenly Father loves us. Watch how he gave of himself, that he laid his life on the cross. Watch of that heavenly Father. Because what you see, eventually you'll start doing. And you'll start saying. And you'll start acting like. What are you looking at? Are you looking at the situation that says it's impossible? Are you looking at the God that said that with all things, with me, all things are possible? What are you looking at? Are you looking at the giant and saying he's too big? Or look at the God that says that I fill all the heavens and the earth. I'm bigger than anything else. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Today I open these altars and I offer you the opportunity to allow God to see you. That you'd finally come out of the bushes. That you'd come out from behind the fig leaves and allow God to see you. And also that you would see God. And when you see God, it's like, I don't want to die to myself. I don't want to give up this thing. You've got to. You've got to die. You've got to take up your cross and crucify the flesh. Paul said in Galatians 2:20 that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You may say, I don't believe. I want you to know that God believes in you. I don't live because of how great my faith is in Christ. I live because of how great his faith is in me. He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. God believes in you. God believes so much in you that he was willing to die for you. You want to talk about an investment? He invested his everything. That's how much God loves you. And so if we're going to see God, we got to purify our heart. We got to throw away everything that stands in our way, laying aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. That weight may be a grudge. That weight may be, or that sin or that obstacle, that obstruction might be a relationship, a hurt that happened so many years ago. Maybe it was your father that abused you. Maybe it was a husband that abused you. Maybe it was a disappointment that you thought God would move in this situation and it didn't. And because of that, it's stopping you from really receiving God. The Bible said that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. God wants to heal your heart, but you got to change what you're looking at. Stop looking at the problem and start looking at the solution. For Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me, by looking at me. This is your time. Change what you're looking at. When you change what you're looking at, the things that you look at, we're going to change. There's going to be a transformation that's going to occur. This is your moment. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, and they shall be seen of God. God bless you.